Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, live from Chicago, welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Again, everybody, stay safe and stay informed. Keep that up. We've got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Joe Cardillo, PhD. He's an inspirational speaker. He's a best-selling author. He's got an upcoming book, The 12 Rules of Attention. He's, last time he was on, we were talking about his book, Body Intelligence, Holistic Healthcare. Anyway, he's returning. And then we got Rick Nifty Middleton, the former National Hockey League player with the Rangers and the Boston Bruins. And he's the co-producer, creator of this upcoming, exciting documentary, Tough Sledding, the story of the 2002 Paralympic gold medalist that Nifty coached. Then we'll talk a little sports doctors in a couple emails. First, I want to welcome back, again, the author, inspirational speaker, Dr. Joe Cardillo. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Give us some background on you leading up to your new book.
Well, you know, I started my entire career by writing a book titled Be Like Water, which...
Bruce Lee.
Which, yeah, Bruce Lee.
That's Bruce Lee.
You know, Tom Brady.
Minds Like Water. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tao Te Ching, you know, so, you know, Be Like Water was the thing that sent me out there. And that was a book that really explored the mind-body connection, and it was my first book, and since then, here we are, seven books later. I could go through them, but here we are, seven books later, and it was a couple of years ago. I mean, I've continued my research. I noticed that the point is also, Joe,
what's more important than paying attention? So I guess the 12 rules
nothing.
Of attention. You know, this whole idea of attention training, I think, is a very, very exciting one. So talk about what's important to you with your new venture. When is that coming out?
It's coming out in just a couple of weeks. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that right now. So it's available there, but it's officially being released into bookstores and so on July 14th. But again, it's there now. What's important to me is that, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. What could be more important than attention? So for me, thinking about this stuff over 20 years, you know, I thought, you know, at the bottom of this all, at the bottom of all the mind-body connections, at the bottom of almost everything we do all day long is this thing that we call attention and focus, because it's what in the end determines what happens to us throughout the day. And that's why I wanted to go more into this area. I mean, I wrote a book on it about 15 years ago. Maybe a little less than that, but around that time, I saw that we progressed tremendously in what we know about attention. And so I wanted to, you know, to update all that. And I saw that, hey, you know, the world hasn't become any more attentive in the last 15 years.
So. You know, what's interesting, Dr. Joe, is the fact that I've paid attention to it on the Sports Doctor for probably 2.5 decades, give or take a few weeks. The idea of the mind-body connection, the word mindfulness, again, all of these things, I call it the mental game with all the different things, whether it's all aspects of sports medicine or high performance or recovery, et cetera. you know, general medicine, I would assume. Energy medicine, I add big time because I know that's a big part of what you also really, really talk about. And 20 years ago, people, the doctors didn't know how to spell that, mindfulness or body, mind connections. And so that's come a long, long way, baby, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember that, you know, one of the first times, in fact, it was the first time I ever saw anything like when I saw mindfulness on the cover of one of the major magazines in the, you know, I don't know if I can mention it, but it was on the cover of a major magazine.
Sure you could.
You know, on the newsstand. I believe it was Time Magazine, right on the cover, you know,
yes.
Top cover,
yeah.
And it's been on there periodically since, you know, and I said, oh my goodness, you know, and who would have thought, you know, I mean, you know,
pardon
you know,
the pun.
years ago when I wrote Be Like Water, who would have ever thought, you know, that one of these ideas would get on the cover of the Smithsonian, you know, and we had done work, I had done work on how music affects the mind and particularly on how music can improve focus. And create, you know, we wanted to get to the bottom.
Yes, I've had some interesting experts in the area of sound therapy, sound baths. Yes, had some great guests. And it seems the attention, of course, to say the least in this day and age with what's going on, again, whether we're talking about the best athletes in the world and the tremendous pressures and all of these difficulties, you know, the great golfers would say, you know, can you be here right now and not be aggravated over the shot you just missed? You know, they, all of us know these kinds of things. But the fact that you could train them or maybe pay really attention to them, you know, has always been the area, again, of the whole world of sports psychology. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you can go back years, see what topics, what guests might interest you, listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read the endless array of articles and topics on everything from what's the best shoe for your son or daughter to a whole series of articles on specialization. A lot of what I've written for one of our key sponsors, Lower Extremity Review, and the exciting new MVP Parent Magazine. We have over 30,000 Twitter followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and or LinkedIn, whether it's authors or scientists or doctors or coaches. And you can follow us at Sports Doc Radio, at Sports Doc DOC Radio. We're talking with the upcoming author of the 12 Rules of Attention, Dr. Joe Cardillo, PhD. Again, he's written 6 or 7 books. You know, you've made a point also, you know, in what you're talking about with what you consider to be holistic health care. But give us quickly, Joe, the best website or that people could find out information about you and your books.
Yes. Anyone can go to Joseph Cardillo, CARDILLO.com.
Okay.
And there's lots of information on what I'm up to these days and so on, particularly with
the term, you know, the term, again, I've paid so much attention to it over the years, holistic medicine, combination of Eastern and Western medicine. And I like the term holistic healthcare. It seems to be something we continue to move in the direction of, which I think is great, but we're still sometimes treading water, aren't we?
Yes, we are. But you know, we're learning every day, you know, where, you know, what we knew even 50 years ago, we know so much more, today, I think. And holistic is one of those words, you know, I always look at it as a kind of a matrix, you know, like a nice big thick asterisk, you know, with multi-disciplines, going through the center, which is us. We're in the center and we're influenced by all kinds of, you know, we're influenced in the body and we're influenced by the mind and the spirit, and they can work, you know, they can interrelate, I think. And, And you know, and the idea is for me is not to look at each thing separately, but to look at it separately and then to put it together as a whole. You know, so we're looking at everything, you know, from our emotions to, you know, our actions to our diet, and seeing how one influences the other.
Yes, and all of these challenges that everybody has, you know, like, again, one of the biggest pet peeves on the Sports Doctor is the fact that the United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other, that allows television advertising of drugs, prescription drugs, yeah, ad nauseum, or if it's not a diet commercial. So the ability to learn how to pay attention to what's important, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your coaching skills, whether it's trying to, you know, stick to the nutrition plan you have or the exercise plan. Again, whatever I talk to, whoever I talk to around the world at whatever level, Dr. Joe, pace, you know, it's the mind game. And the ability, well, to, number one, understand it there, and then understand that you personally, individually can do something about it. That's a lot of what I got out of your rules of attention.
Absolutely. And you know, if I had to pick a group of individuals that have been, you know, ahead of the game forever, it's athletics. I mean, if you go to the origin of athletics, you see individuals paying attention to how an action is being performed, and afterward going over it in their head over and over again to see where they messed up or to see how they can improve such and such a skill, or maybe something happened haphazardly that was great and how can I repeat that. And athletes learn how to improve themselves quick by doing those kinds of visualizations and reflecting,
yes,
on their actions and so on. So they,
you
think
know,
about
all my
it,
years,
and then they use
all
it.
All my years, Dr. Joe, in the world of figure skating, and, you know, my poster boy, the 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, he grew up in Naperville, Illinois. I put orthotics, I'm talking a little sports podiatry here, in his skates when he was 10 years old. But that particular sport, visualization, was always such a big deal. And the idea of how effective and helpful it could be. And these were things, again, that a couple of decades ago, you know, my famous, the late great sports psychologist, Dr. Jim Vickery, he shared the radio with me years ago, and he would talk a lot about that he didn't even label himself a psychologist in the 80s, early 90s. Because it was almost a voodoo word. He was a performance enhancement consultant. Because the word, yeah, psychology scared me. What do you mean? You think there's something wrong with me? So the idea that this gigantic positive side to it is what's excited me. And we pay a lot of attention to it. You know, I'm a sports doctor. Because, again, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother who's trying to stick to her nutrition program or her walking program, the idea that, you know, you could be paying attention to these kinds of things, you know, yoga, meditation, again, the importance of exercise, all of these things. Give me a rundown before we run out of time. What are the 12 rules of attention, by the way?
I get into it. Remember that, that mantra of Muhammad Ali's? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You,
yes,
can't hit what you can't see. You know, back when he was saying that, people called it poetry. Ali himself called it poetry. But, you know, since then, you know, we've been able to prove, well, you know, psychologists have been able to show this. Neurologists have been able to show that. We've been able to show that things like that actually build connections in your mind so that you're able to, you know, use those
All right.
precise
float
actions.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. What's another one? What's another rule of attention?
Well, here's a couple. You know, my first rule of attention is to pay attention to how you're paying attention and to talk
aware,
to your brain
aware.
Like that. Yeah, to be aware, to be, you know, how am I paying attention? I mean, pretty good today? Is my attentional beam a little weak? You know, just get a little sensitive about where your attention's at, because otherwise up to 96% of our activity throughout the day is determined by automatic behaviors that we're not really paying attention to. We just kind of go through the motions. So the first thing I'd say is just, you know, stop once in a while and take a look at how you're paying attention. Am I really on, or is my switch a little dim at this point? And then the second rule of attention is to know the difference between awareness and mindfulness and attention. You know, these are words that, like you said years ago, weren't used that much in our vernacular, but now they've become so commonplace. You hear them in a classroom, in a gym, or even at the dinner table. So to know the difference, you know, between being aware and being mindful. In my book, I talk about mindfulness as energy, as pure energy. You know, and the easiest way to understand that is, you know, is to think about that, to think about the flashlight on your cell phone, how you can just take the switch and slide it up and increase the beam, increase the energy of the beam. Well, mindfulness is more than just presence. It's how much energy do you put in, how much wattage are you putting into that presence? And in the book, I show people how to increase mindfulness and to show people the difference between awareness and mindfulness and focus. You know, what's that? How's that different from that? And then some of the other rules are, you know, some of the ones that I like is that we're pretty automated creatures. We're creatures of habit. And so once we do something a couple of times, I guess there's a beware there. Look out, because your brain will do it that way every time if you don't interrupt it and say, no, I want to do things differently. So if you develop a habit, particularly a habit about regarding the way you pay attention to things, then that's the way you're going to continue to operate until you intervene and change that particular habit. But the good news is you can create a habit can create a habit that's facilitating. So those are some of the...
I knew I'd almost get 12 out of you. Just give me again the website for your books and information, Dr. Joe Cardillo. Quickly.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bob. The book is The 12 Rules of Attention, and my website is Joseph Cardillo, CARDILLO.com.
Great. Thank you so much. And hold on, Joe. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. We are back on the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. We're excited about having Rick Nifty Middleton. He's a former National Hockey League player with the Rangers and the Bruins. He's the co-producer, creator of this upcoming documentary, Tough Sledding. This incredible story of the 2002 Paralympic gold medalist, team he coached. Rick Nifty, hey, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. One correction. It's not a documentary. We're hoping to make a full-length film, movie about
right.
It's,
yes,
story.
It's Tough yeah. Sledding the movie. Yeah, you got me. You know, we're making a documentary on youth sports. I guess the word
okay.
must have got into my head.
No, that's okay.
So tell
that's
us
so
about
true.
Tell us about this project. I know, again, you played in the National Hockey League. You coached.
Yep.
Tell us about how this whole story came about, Rick.
Well, to make a shorter story than I'm used to telling, I got a call one day from a friend. The U.S. national sled hockey team, their coach had quit in the World Championships in 2000. They were the host team in Salt Lake City in the Paralympics in 2002. They were looking for a coach. They asked if I was interested. I said I was and got the job. We had a selection camp in August of 01, and you know what happened in September 01. And we had to work our way through 9/11, 7 months of training camps to bring this team that had only ever won one game in their history. And we were the last seed going in. We were the sixth out of six seeds, six teams.
Was this bobsled? Bobsled team?
No. Sled hockey is a sport for the disabled men and women, but in those days it was only a men's team. And they sit on these aluminum sleds in a bucket, strap themselves in, propel themselves with two smaller sticks, one left-handed, one right-handed, with these picks on the end of them that are sharp as razor blades. And they skate with their arms, they stick handle with their arms, they shoot with their arms.
Fantastic.
And it's not a recreational sport. It's full check at the Paralympic level. And very dirty, too.
Yeah, again, one of the challenges, you know, I've had a frequent guest, Bob James. He's a Paralympic champion basketball
yep.
In England. I think I sent him the fact that you had a casting call for your movie. So
yes, a virtual casting call in today's world. Yeah.
Yes.
But,
who better to get than a National Hockey League a player than to be able to work with these guys? And I guess you found out real fast that you were talking about some serious athletes, right, Rick?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, from the day that I met them, I saw how dedicated these guys were to the game. And I never saw the sleds out there. And it was, you know, hockey's hockey. You play on the same rink, with the same nets, with the same number of players on the ice. And, you know, it's all the same game. They have two penalties that able-bodied hockey doesn't have. One, you're not allowed to stab the guy with the end of your stick because, you know, guys come off bleeding all the time. The second one is T-boning. You're not allowed to run your sled into the guy, another player, on purpose. But they do it at the Olympic level all the time, because they try to knock each other's wind out. So
yes.
There's a lot on the line. Yeah.
Yes, and of course, when you're talking the Olympics, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to everybody involved.
They're representing their country, you know. They're very serious about this. Well, let me tell you what's happened since, though. They'd only won one game in their history. We went in as the last seed. We won the gold medal. And since then, they've won a bronze and three golds in a row in 2010, 2014, and 2018. They're winning a sled hockey team in the world with four golds and a bronze in the last five Paralympics. And if people want to check out our movie online, what it's all about, it's toughsleddingthemovie.com.
Yes, and are you still involved in coaching?
No. For some reason, they didn't keep us on.
They retired you?
You know what I said? Maybe they'd have five goals by now. But we went on. My assistant coach Tom Moulton and I started coaching a team around Boston here. I got the old Bruins jerseys that had the bear on them at the time, and we went to tournaments and had a lot of fun with it. But no, I never coached at the national team level.
Nifty, some of your colleagues, you know, back when you were playing, Doug Wilson. The late,
I love Dougie. Magnuson. I played in the 84 Canada Cup with Dougie. Yeah.
I put orthotics in all this, Gates. I'm still putting orthotics. Even though I've paid most of my attention to the world of figure skating over the decades.
Okay.
And the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, he was 10 years old, Evan Lysacek, when I put orthotics in his skates.
Really?
Yes, when you're talking balance, edging, stability, alignment, that's the GOLD program as a prescription orthotic, which is far superior. And so this was something that has always been very exciting when we came to trying to enhance balance and stability. So that's my pearl for the day, Nifty, for you being a youth and a hockey coach.
I could have probably used it back then.
yes. Well, a lot. There's a big difference between a custom device by sports podiatry and something. Well, you know, the bootmaker put something in the skate. How important the role of boots. That type of situation.
I used to wear the old Langs and Microns that were plastic boots that had slippers on the inside. I wore bare feet in the slippers. They were awesome. They're very comfortable.
Really? A trooper. Now, hockey also is one of these sports that we see very, very serious playing at very early ages. This is one of the biggest hot topics on my show, The Sports Doctor, which is youth sports, many times concentrating very, very early in the challenges. You know, I used to have young hockey players, they'd go for a weekend, play a triple header. You know, and we would say, what, are these people crazy? Yeah. Hey, it's still going on. So, you know, this overuse and overkill. When is the movie, when are you looking to the movie to be available, Rick?
I'll let you know where we're at.
Roughly.
We have a studio that's interested in it right now. We're looking for an A-list actor or an A-list director. They said if we can bring that aboard that they'll fund it and make the movie. So if there's any A-list directors and actors listening today, please get a hold of me. But
you might hear from James Roberts. James is my guest in 2 weeks. Yes,
oh, really?
From England.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. He's a Paralympic champion.
Okay.
Not in your sport, but the Paralympics is a family
There's summer and winter Paralympics. There's quite a few sports. We're hoping to get it made by just before the Olympics and Paralympics in 2022 in China, because it would be a perfect time to release this movie just before the Paralympics in 22, which is in March. It's usually about 3 weeks after the Olympics.
You know, what we would see in some of these athletes, again, imagine somebody who's sitting in a wheelchair, or imagine somebody who's sitting in the apparatus for tough sledding, and then you'll get an idea of the upper body strength and core strength that's involved with these athletes.
No, absolutely right. People say to me, boy, they must be jacked. They must be strong. But, you know, most of the guys weren't. And a very simple explanation for is that if you're able-bodied, you use your legs, which are much bigger muscles, and your heart has to work harder to pump oxygen to your legs. But they're using their upper body and their arms, and they're very close to the heart, and they're smaller muscles. So the heart doesn't have to work as hard, believe it or not.
Interesting.
It's not easy, but the heart itself doesn't have to pump as much blood and oxygen to those muscles.
So is the movie going to be about like the, I'm thinking The Last Dance in my mind with the Michael Jordan series.
Well,
is the movie going to be about the 2002 season?
Yeah, it's going to be the whole story from the time that I was asked to be coach, because there was another fella, you know the movie Miracle? About the 1980 team. Well, one of the storylines in the movie was that half the team was from Minnesota and half was from New England. Well, we had kind of the same thing. We had about half the team that came from Chicago, where you are, from the Rehab Institute of Chicago, and had a coach that wanted to be king, and he didn't like the fact that I got the job. So throughout the whole process, from August of 01 right into Salt Lake City in March of 02 and all the way to the gold medal game, he was a pain, and he tried to disrupt us, and he compromised the players that were allegiant to him. I'm so surprised that we were even able to get to Salt Lake City, let alone win a gold medal against the best sled teams in the world. And it's the story of the guys. You know, it's not a feel-good story about a bunch of disabled guys winning a gold medal. It's going to be the story of their lives and what they overcame personally, and then what the team overcame in order to win the gold for their country 6 months after 9/11.
Yes. Comes to mind talking to you, whether it was President Bush throwing out the first pitch with the Yankees in that particular series, whether it was anything at all that somehow could be positive, that everything wouldn't have been canceled.
Well,
isn't it amazing?
The last Olympics in the United States was 02, 6 months after 9/11. So we
how
felt
long,
very
how
proud.
Long has how long has sledding been part of the Paralympics?
I know the first time the U.S. went was 98 in Nagano, but Sweden and Norway are still fighting over who invented the game, and they might have been in Lillehammer. I'm not sure, but it's gotten more competitive and more. You see, every time a country has a Paralympics, a Winter Paralympics, they have to put a host team in. So when it was in Sochi, Russia never had a team before, but they had to develop a team. They actually went to the gold medal game that year, and it was
that's not surprising, right? The mighty Russians.
Yeah, I mean, they have talk about hockey in Russia, right?
Absolutely. Amazing.
And then Korea
All right,
had
we're
to
gonna
put
be
a
back,
team
Rick.
Together.
We're talking with Rick Nifty Middleton. Former NHL player. He is the co-producer of upcoming Tough Sledding, the movie. And we'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we're talking with Rick Nifty Middleton, the former Boston Bruin, New York Ranger, National Hockey League, who coached the exciting 2002 Paralympic gold medal sled hockey team. And upcoming movie, Tough Sledding, the movie, is what they're going to be putting together to come out sometime in the future. And we were talking about the kinds of not only athletes, I would imagine the speed with these skaters has got to be a big surprise to people who haven't seen the sport before.
Well, like able-bodied hockey, the athlete has improved and with conditioning, with better equipment, honestly, with the younger people coming in the game. When we did it in 02, there wasn't a lot of youth leagues, so all the guys that played on my team learned the game pretty much as adults. And today, there's so many youth leagues, a lot of the guys that are on the national team today have played all the way up. but most of them on the Canadian team and the U.S. team are double amped.
What are some of the disabilities, Rick? What are some of the disabilities?
Well,
and as an example of who might be part of a Paralympic team.
Well, from our team, believe it or not, out of 15 guys, two of them were train accidents. And my captain, Joe Howard, they had a habit of him and his buddies would jump trains on the way home from high school at 15 years old. And the story goes that they greased the rails and he slid down. He lost both legs at 15. But he was a hockey player growing up. And so he had a hockey brain. And when he found sled hockey, he became one of the top three players in the world at one time. You know, spina bifida from the time you're born, polio. You know, I didn't go around asking every guy how they got disabled, but I'd heard the story. Some were construction accidents.
Yes, but it definitely was more than just amputees, right?
Back in our day, it was a lot of different things. Today, almost all the players on the U.S. team and the Canadian team are double amps, because they find that they're faster and they can move on that sled like water bugs through the water. And you find a lot of veterans on the U.S. team.
I was just, you know, you read my mind, Rick. I just was going to ask you exactly that, which was whether or not you would see probably some real athletic veterans who unfortunately ended up as amputees.
From Afghanistan and Iraq and the wars, you know, in '02, I think we had one veteran, but he wasn't in either one of those wars. But now, I think they have at least six or seven on the U.S. national team.
You probably have draft choices because, we have all of these post-injury individuals a lot more to,
They get introduced through their rehabs. That's where they find
When's the next games, Rick? When are the next scheduled Paralympics?
The next scheduled Paralympics would be in 2022 in China, if they're not yanked from China, which, I'm hoping they will be, because who wants to go to China these days? But
it's an amazing thing, Rick, in the world of, the coming together with the Olympic spirit and the participation. Yeah. They've never been able to stay away or keep politics out of it. We're still trying, and it's just semi-impossible, you would think. I thought the pandemic would bring us all together in one particular way or another. We had an opportunity because we were all going, hey, we're all in this
in some ways it hasn't.
Yes, yes. Do you miss the NHL and playing hockey? I bet you do.
Well, I'm president of the Boston Bruins alumni, so I'm lucky enough that we play about 30 games a year for different charities, youth hockey groups and Mass Down Syndrome Congress and such. So I've been doing that for the last over 10 years as president, playing for 25. So I'm pretty much at the end of my road.
Yes. Play against John Marks with the Hawks?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I played in the old Chicago Stadium. I loved playing in Chicago Stadium because you had to walk up and down a flight of stairs. I don't know if you know that, but so did Chicago. For 40 home games, they had to go up and down a flight of stairs.
Strengthen those ankles, my friend. He was considered one of the biggest athletes. He was almost like a linebacker, 225, 6'3". Yep. He big. Yep. Today, that's almost small. It's interesting. You know, again, the speed, the power, the strength, the size, it makes us question, again, the physicality of the game, the world of concussions. I have concussion experts on the Sports Doctor from everywhere, all over the world, talking about these kinds of challenges, with the kinds of games where we have this kind of collisions and these kinds of strength of athletes where we have to step back and say, let's take a look at some of these collision rules with you guys.
In, hockey, it's kind of ridiculous to do that, because what they wanted was a faster game, because they had a thing that was called the trap that was invented in the 90s that slowed the game of hockey down. I'm not going to go into explanations, but that's why they took the red line out. And then when they took the red line out and wouldn't allow interference, like in the old days, if somebody dumped a puck in the corner, your defenseman would turn to go back get it. Your defensive partner could kind of come over and force guys to go wide and slow them down. Today, that's interference. You don't even have to touch a guy, and you get called for that. So these guys are going in 100 miles an hour like a bullet into the corner. And if the guy makes the wrong move at the wrong time, he's going to be pasted against the boards.
Yes. You know? Some of the best athletes I ever saw, Rick, working with the famous Bob Guida, the sports therapist, were the reasons that the Doug Wilsons and the late Keith Magnusons, and they all came to him. They wanted to be quicker. They wanted to be stronger. And I was hanging around, so I got a chance to work with them with orthotics and add that absolutely to the mix. But some of the best athletes, I'll include all of them, and I'm sure we'll include you, that we would ever see the ability to be quick, the explosiveness, the stability, the balance, was always a step up. Of course, I might have been a touch prejudiced. But and when I would see some of these hockey players, and I'd say, wow, man, these guys are really exceptional athletes. Yeah.
Nothing has ever changed that skating is still the most important fundamental. And what sets the stars in the NHL apart mainly is the skating. Feel the Bobby Hull, Bobby Orr, you know, these guys could fly.
Patrick Kane, yes.
Patrick Kane.
The great Gretzky.
McDavid today.
Some of my figure skating coach friends years ago, like Candy Brown, some of these others, were figure skating coaches. And they would include and work with some of you hockey guys talking again about all aspects in the world of skating. It's an incredibly fast game.
The guy that proved the fallacy wrong was Wayne Gretzky, because you didn't have to be big and powerful to be a good skater. He was so deceptive. He could go from 0 to 60 in 3 strides, and he could go laterally. And he could do everything at top speed, and that's what makes the great ones. You can do everything at top speed.
You know, it's interesting because, of course, the Last Dance was just on, but I always compared Gretzky in a way. Michael Jordan, he was the Michael Jordan of hockey, and vice versa. These two exceptional type of players in their particular sport, which was really exciting to watch. So you are coaching, you're an alumni captain with the Bruins, you're coaching some junior players, and you're working on the movie. You got to be a busy guy.
Well, I don't know much about the movie business, so that's why we have a good team. We've got a script written, and we're at the stage right now that we're looking for an A-list actor, like I said, or director.
But, are you in it? You must be in it. You got to be in the movie, right?
This is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be. Well, maybe I'll be an actor, but I won't be. I won't
give
be playing myself.
Give me the website.
I want to tell you about one guy from Chicago.
Rick, we ran out of time. Ran out of time. So give me the website again. They could find out about the film.
ToughSleddingTheMovie.com.
ToughSledding.
Two D's and sledding.
ToughSleddingTheMovie.com. Rick Nifty Middleton. Rick, hold on. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll be right back. Another Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. Boy, it was fun to mention some of those old names. The Chicago Blackhawks were old patients of mine that I was talking about with Nifty Middleton, Rick Middleton, in the last segment. That was exciting stuff. Upcoming shows, we've got one of my favorite orthopedic surgeons, sports orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Sean McMillan, next week. A chiropractic physician who worked with pro athletes in many of the different leagues. Dr. Mark Laguerre will be with us on the 10th. Following week, speed coach. He played with the 85 Super Bowl Bears, Ken Taylor. He's got a book. He's got teaching methods for speed and quickness. And then we featured the Paralympics today, and one of our Paralympic champions, James Roberts from England, will be joining us on the 17th. We've got a few emails, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the interaction between the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and the online course, Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors In. Brooke says you talk so much about rubber bands and ankles. My son is 12. He plays soccer. My daughter is 14, plays tennis. Brooke, strengthening the ankles is one of the smartest things you'll ever do for your son or daughter. One of the smartest things you'll do if you're active. Ankle injuries are still the most common problem we see. And when you're talking movement, speed, performance, you can't be too strong. And rubber bands are a very, very simple, inexpensive, effective way to strengthen all of the range of motion, moving the ankle up and down, moving the ankle inside out, moving it side to side. And there is technique. So many times we talk about, you know, have the athletic trainer, physical therapist show you a simple way to include rubber bands for strengthening. They'll both benefit big time. Perry says, are heel spurs a surgical problem? Usually not, Perry. Almost always heel spurs, which is a protrusion of bone on the bottom of the heel, where the plantar fascia, the big arch tendon that's on the bottom of the foot that goes from the toes to the heel, and that tendon attaches on the bottom of the heel. If there's constant irritation there, traction, pulling, irritation, the bone can respond over the years and we can get a heel spur. Almost always, and they can be painful. The process of it forming is usually the problem because it's inflamed, it's irritated. Conservative management is almost always successful. Proper support, ideally orthotics, physical therapy, on occasion, sometimes holistic, or cortisone injections. But orthotics alone are probably 85% successful in calming down what we call plantar fasciitis, which can be the same thing as the heel spur syndrome. Look conservatively, absolutely. Rarely do we see surgery necessary. 1-2%. Madeline says, my 12-year-old son is a figure skater. He does a lot of double jumps. He has been growing. They keep talking about jumper's knee. You know, the tendon that attaches the kneecap to the top of the shin bone, the patella tendon, when it's stressed aggressively, jumping will do that in any instance, but when we are growing excessively or fast, have spurts, we can put traction on the attachment. There's a condition called Osgood-Schlatter. It's a fancy name. That inflammation, there's almost a bump that forms under the kneecap. And this often is aggravated by pronation of the foot, excessive flattening of the foot, and rotation of the lower leg, which is one of the normal motions that goes along with pronation of the foot. The foot and ankle is a shock absorber. The arch rolls in, the lower leg rolls in, and it torques the knee normally. And when we have excessive pronation, which is common, that's an aggravating factor. We're very often, especially in the world of figure skating, I would be putting orthotics in your son's skates, and we would solve the jumper's knee problem. Good chance. Plus, he'll be a more explosive skater. We do add physical therapy and intelligent rest. Sometimes it's necessary. Hey, kid, back off for a few weeks with the jumping. Pay attention to not adding any running, jumping, and off-ice conditioning. This is a big mistake. The kid's got knee problems and he's running laps or jumping rope or doing plyometrics. Get out of that. Interesting comparisons that we've seen. You know, I just celebrated my second anniversary of the book, hashtag A Sports Parents, that I co-authored with Hall of Fame volleyballer and radio host and health professor Sharkey Zartman, and a new online venture starting this summer, which is called Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctor's In, where I'm putting myself in the quarterback seat in consulting with parents or coaches of young athletes almost exclusively about everything from the type of sports medicine-related problem your son or daughter might have. And then I have a team of experts of over 20 of various expertise and organizations in the world of youth sports that involves physical therapy, involves mental training, and involves nutrition, and involves programs where I can reference and recommend some inclusion of these groups in being the quarterback and coaching these parents with a free consult initially. And then if we follow through, we might have two or three phone calls and connections as we follow up with some of the recommendations and referrals that we've been talking about. An example might be, again, this gal with her 12-year-old tennis player, 10-year-old soccer player. Maybe they both are on traveling teams. Maybe they're both serious athletes. Maybe they're aspiring to be serious athletes. Maybe there's problems with feet, ankles, low extremities. Sports Doctor's In. Maybe there's problems involving questions about nutrition. Sports Doctor's In. Maybe there's questions involving what about the physical training that this young skater or this young tennis player or soccer player, whatever, is doing. What about the mental side, the communications we have? So go to www.thesportsdoctor.online. www.thesportsdoctor.online. You can find out all about it. The book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Great Father's Day Gift, is on Amazon. Everybody stay safe. We'll see you next week. Thank you.